गुरु ब्रह्मा गुरु विष्णु गुरु देवो महेश्वरा गुरु साक्षात् परब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। Good morning, everyone. Reading this morning from our book, Path to Shiva, lesson 67. How can we be strong, Saivite Hindus? Gurudeva taught, once we have chosen and accepted our faith, it is then our spiritual duty to learn it well and live by it as a wholeheartedly contributing member of a faith community, so that we pass it on in a vibrant way to those who come after us, the next generation. To be strong Hindus first, we must learn our religion well. This means gaining a good understanding of the philosophy, the culture, and the subtle mysticism. Second, we must live by it fully. This means having a solid commitment, a good character, and putting its principles into practice. For us, this includes adopting the gestures, attitudes, customs, ways of worship, dress, and refinements of Tamil Saiva culture. The third step is passing our faith along to others. We all live in mixed societies, interrelating with people of varied backgrounds. You may find yourself being asked about your Hindu faith. Some questioners may have no religion. Others may reject religion and believe science has all the answers. You may be confronted by their questions. Do you worship cows? Why are there so many Hindu gods? Why not, right? Why are there so many Hindu gods? Why do you wear the dot on your forehead? Prepare yourself by studying the answers to such questions. Respond with confidence and kindness. Assume that the person really wants to learn. Yes, some may want to harass you or turn you to their view. If you sense this is the case, smile and dismiss yourself without engaging further. You can also share your faith by conducting classes or sharing at public gatherings. In sum, we each stand strong for Hinduism by being good Hindus. Gurudeva has given us the tools in his Master Course trilogy, Dancing, Living, and Merging with Shiva. Using these tools of philosophy, culture, and yoga, we can defend, explain, protect, preserve, and promote our Saiva faith. And then we have Gurudeva's quote. The time has come for Hindus of all races, all nations, of all cultures, of all sects to stand up and let the peoples of the world know of the great religion of which they are one of the staunch adherents. In reflecting on that, the first point, of course, was first, we must learn our religion well. I remember that Gurudeva made the point a number of times in the Master Course trilogy that the first way of learning the religion is to memorize its tenets, particularly for younger Hindus. Stressed that a number of times that you want to learn a lot by memory. So I looked up memory to see what I would come across in the trilogy. Wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it had an interesting twist to it. So we'll take a look. One does not progress on the spiritual path by words, ideas, or unused knowledge. Sounds fiery already, right? Memorized precepts, slokas, all the shoulds and should nots are good. But unless used, they will not propel you one inch further than you already are. It is putting what you have learned into practice in these moments of experiencing impatience and controlling it through command of your spiritual will that moves you forward. These steps forward can never be retracted. When a test comes, prevail. So it jumped right into the second point. Second, we must live by it fully. And that's something that's not always understood. I tell a story from Mauritius. It was a young woman who relayed the story. It's about her father. He said, the father, he goes to the temple. He's just such a devout person. Now, there he is worshiping in the temple. And then he comes home and yells at his wife and his kids all the time. She said, I can't understand a religion that allows for that kind of duplicity, that double standard, where you're acting one way in the temple and you're acting another way in the home. So she kind of backed off of Hinduism for that reason when she was younger. And then when she got a little older, she realized that Hinduism had some pretty good stuff in it after all, and she shouldn't let her father's behavior keep her away from it forever. So she was old enough to kind of get beyond her reaction to her father. And that idea is what Gurudeva encompasses by the idea of living with Shiva, meaning we're bringing the religion into the home, we're bringing the religion into the family, we're bringing the religion into our interactions with all other people. And of course, that's the challenge, because we don't like some people, right? We don't get along with other people. So how to bring that love that we feel in the temple into our interactions and our daily life, that, of course, is the challenge. And it's what Gurudeva is saying here, that we need to live it. In moments of experiencing impatience, we need to control it. We need to focus on self-control. Gurudeva goes on. Sadhakas and sannyasins must be perfect in kshama, forbearing with people and patient under all circumstances, as they have harnessed their karmas of this life and the lives before, compressed them to be experienced in this one lifetime. There is no cause for them, if they are to succeed, to harbor intolerance or experience any kind of impatience with people or circumstances. Their instinctive intellectual nature should be caught up in daily devotion, unreserved worship, meditation, and deep self-inquiry. Therefore, the practice, niyama, that mitigates intolerance is devotion, Ishvara Pujana, cultivating devotion through daily worship and meditation. And I thought I'd go back to the beginning of it. The beginning of it's also very good. The fifth yama, patience, or kshama, is as essential to the spiritual path as the spiritual path is to itself. That means it's pretty essential. Impatience is a sign of desirousness, to fulfill unfulfilled desires, having no time for any interruptions or delays from anything that seems irrelevant to what one already wants to accomplish. Reminds me of a story. One of our devotee families was flying from Sacramento to Hawaii, and it was one of those situations where they boarded the plane, but the plane couldn't take off, so they were sitting in the plane for quite a while. And they said that everyone except one couple on the plane was totally frustrated by the situation. But, you know, they were there just carrying on and doing something positive with their time. And the other couple was a Buddhist couple. Somehow they knew they were Buddhist. I don't remember how they knew. So the Buddhist couple and the Hindu couple on the plane were making good use of their time there on the runway, and everyone else was totally frustrated, feeling impatient by the intolerable delay, right? They weren't able to accept it and make use of the time in a positive way. We must restrain our desires by regulating our life with daily worship and meditation. Daily worship and meditation are difficult to accomplish without a break in continuity. However, impatience and frustration come automatically in continuity day after day, often at the same time, becoming impatient before breakfast because it is not served on time, feeling intolerant and abusive with children because they are not behaving as adults, and on and on. Everything has its timing and its regularity in life. Focusing on living in the eternity of the moment overcomes impatience. It produces the feeling that one has nothing to do, no future to work toward, and no past to rely on. This excellent spiritual practice can be performed now and again during the day by anyone. Patience is having the power of acceptance. It's a very important word, acceptance. Accepting people, accepting events as they are happening. One of the great spiritual powers that people can have is to accept things as they are. That forestalls impatience and intolerance. Acceptance is developed in a person by understanding the law of karma and in seeing God Shiva and his work everywhere. Accepting the perfection of the timing of the creation, preservation, and absorption of the entire universe. Acceptance does not mean being resigned to one's situation and avoiding challenges. We know that we ourselves created our own situation, our own challenges in a former time by sending forth our energies, thoughts, words, and deeds. As these energies on their cycle back manifest through people, happenings, and circumstances, we must deal patiently with the situation, not fight it or try to avoid it, or be discouraged by it. This is kshama in the raw. This is pure kshama. Patience cannot be acquired in depth in any other way. This is why meditation upon the truths of the Sanatana Dharma is so important. So that point, of course, is crucial. Said another way, whatever happens to us is created by whom? By us, right? We're attracting it. The people that come to us and treat us well or treat us poorly, the finances that come to us, abundant or meager, we're attracting it all. It's not external to us. And as Gurudeva points out here, we're attracting it. Why? Because of our past actions in this and past lives. We set all of this in motion. Everything we experience, we set in motion. So if we want to blame someone, the only person we can blame is ourselves, obviously for some unwise actions in the past. Or if we have a sense of humor, we can say, I wonder what in the world I did to attract this to me now. Must have been something outlandish. So that's acceptance. And some of you, of course, heard this point before, but I think it's an important point. I found that one of the greatest barriers to acceptance is labeling something a problem, or even more so, labeling something a big problem. I've got a big problem. What happens when you have a big problem? You procrastinate. You don't want to face it. It's so big, it's so huge. You don't want to face it. Or you put it off a little bit, perhaps miss the timing of solving it. So I found that a better label is, this is just the next thing to do. You don't call it a problem, you don't call it not a problem, you just, everything is just the next thing to do. Some things are difficult, some things are easy, but they're each there and we need to face them and do them well. If we have that attitude, I find it's easier to accept it and handle it, avoid labeling it in such a negative way. It's a big problem. So those are some thoughts, and the basic idea, as is reflected in a simple way here in our lesson, is we learn the religion, and then we live by it, and live by it means in the family, in our friendships with everyone we meet. We want to treat them in a friendly and inspiring way. So thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.